Well, now we want to turn back to the psalm, and we want to focus on the last section, but particularly the last verse. And that is Psalm 119 and verse 76. Now, I have to say to you, I'm very on edge because my 2 feet are standing above the floor and there ain't much room for manoeuvre. So if you see me looking uncomfortable, it's because I am. So hopefully that will not detract at all from the word. So Psalm 119 verse 176, I have gone astray like a lost sheep. Seek your servant, for I do not forget your commandments. And what I've entitled this is quite simply, the lost sheep needs to be brought back into the way. The lost sheep needs to be brought back into the way. That summarizes what is said in the verse. Now, this last section of this very long psalm ends in a remarkable way, because from 169 through to the end, they're all virtually petitions and pleas to God. Let my cry come before you, O Lord. Give me understanding according to your word. Let my plea come before me. Deliver me according to your word. See that? They're petitions, they're pleas with God. And what's interesting about this is that the psalm writer has spent all the verses up to there extolling the word of God and the law of God and its place in the life of the believer. That was true when he wrote it. It was true down through the ages until the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's true to this day. The place of the law of God, the word of God, the precepts of God, is a big place in the life of the Lord's people. And that's what makes this psalm helpful to us. But what is particularly arresting is, notwithstanding that he has talked about his love for the Lord's law and precepts and statutes and so on, and how he has extolled the God of the law, he himself comes down with a bump and he says, I have gone astray. He obviously from the psalm recognized that the law of God rebukes us, it convicts us, it corrects us, and it teaches us. And he has expressed his love for that law more than once in the psalm. Perhaps you young ones can take a peek at it on a Sunday afternoon and look and see how many times he says he loves the law of God. And for all that he says about it, in an almost amazing way, he says, I have gone astray. Here is a prophet of God. Here is a man of the Spirit of God. And he says, having said wonderful true things about the law of God, his finishing shot in this long psalm is, I have gone astray. I've gone astray from your ways, Lord. And see, if we go astray from the Lord's ways, effectively we go astray from the Lord himself. That's the fact of the matter. So, hopefully, as we're thinking about the Lord's Supper and meeting around this table, this will be a useful preparatory service with that in mind, considering ourselves in the light of this text. The first thing we're going to notice is his confession. He says, I have gone astray like a lost sheep. He had come somewhere along the long line of writing this psalm under the power of the Spirit. he had come to realize that in relation to that perfect law of God, he had gone astray. Though he said wonderful things which suggested he had a lively interest in it and in doing it in his life, yet he had come to see his personal waywardness and his sin in the Lord's sight. He realized, for so we discover, that he had gone astray. And he confesses it here in this last verse, that he had sinned against God, that he had really lost his way. Now, I wonder how many of you thought when I started off and I talked about the lost sheep needs to be brought back into the way, whether they thought it was going to be a purely evangelistic sermon. I'd be interested to know. I'll not ask for a show of hands. But you can be forgiven for thinking that. But see, it's not about that. It's about a man in whom the Spirit was working. And who had to say this about himself. I have gone astray like a lost sheep. And he realized this was a serious business. What I want to do, first of all, is I want to pick up the imagery of the lost sheep. You know yourselves, the Bible uses images from the animal world, and the sheep is one we know very well. Jesus called his people my sheep. They hear my voice and they follow me. But let's look at the imagery here and remind ourselves, you see, that although we're familiar with this, we can lose sight of the fact that we ourselves, professing the Lord and to all intents and purposes following the Lord, we can go astray in our spiritual life, in our Christian life. Okay, to go back then, just to think about the imagery of the sheep. It's a familiar image in the Old Testament scriptures. And it's interesting. It's a sort of thing to have a look at another time. It's interesting, you see, that when Jesus declared himself to be the good shepherd, it wasn't something totally new, disconnected from anything else. It was spot on, connected with the Old Testament part of the Bible. If you go back to the long life, although Jacob thought it was short enough, if you go back to the long life of Jacob, the chief shepherd in his day, in his family, and you read in Genesis 48, verses 15 and 16, he says there of the Lord, that the Lord shepherded me all the days of my life. And he says, in the next part, he says, the angel of the Lord, literally the Malach Yahweh, the messenger of the Lord. And that's a name for the Son of God before he became man. He appeared as a servant of the Lord, this is the servant of the Lord, the Malach Yahweh, or the servant in other references of the covenant. And even in his pre-incarnate days, way back in the days of Jacob, the pre-incarnate Son of God was shepherding the sheep. He was looking after them. And it's a wonderful reference that in Genesis 48, there in verses 15 and 16, because Jacob knew the shepherd care of the Lord, and he distinguishes the Lord from the servant, the messenger, literally the messenger of the Lord, the Son of God who appeared and who led and who pastored. And he refers to himself, though he was a shepherd himself, he refers to himself as a sheep whom the Lord fed and led. Now, some expositors of the Bible refer to sheep as silly creatures. But that is simplistic. Maybe some of you, for all I know, have kept sheep. You know more about sheep than I do. And the fact of the matter is, they're not silly. In their own animal way, they know what they're doing. They have a kind of knowing. It might to us appear stubborn, that they're determined to hurt themselves, but in their own animal way, they have a kind of knowing, and they know what they're doing. If they want to get over a fence, they'll find the weakest place. Anybody who has dikes will know that they'll work out a way to get over that dike if the grass is greener. So the point I'm making is the use of sheep is deliberate. It's of the Spirit, as indeed it's of the Spirit in other places, which of course I'm flagging up a few of. Isaiah 53, verse 6, which you'll all know very well. All we like sheep have gone astray, not as a flock simply, but each one has turned to his own way. And see, that is so sheepish, so to speak. It's sheep-like. They'll do their own thing. Sometimes they'll go as the flock, but often you get them doing their own thing, especially if you get ones that are very adept at going over dikes or through fences and so on and so on. And you see, this is relevant because the psalmist is saying, like a lost sheep. He's confessing, like a lost sheep, I went astray. I remember years ago up in the north, they had a glebe where I was, and the first year we were in, it was okay. Second year we were in, they said the minister needs to take the glebe back because all the ministers here had some sheep. So, dutifully, we got a few sheep. And for me, coming from a fishing background, it was great because I learnt more about pastoral work studying the sheep than many's a book written on pastoral work. And it helped me to understand the Saviour in his tenderness and patience, in his wonderful readiness to take us from where we're at. I, like a lost sheep, went astray. And see, again, those of you who know this better than me, maybe, you'll see them at feeding time in the winter when they've got to get some extra. You know the greedy ones, you know the shy ones, and so on and so on. So he's into this. He's not using this in a random way about himself. And one of the things that anybody who knows anything about sheep on the loose can tell you is that they're always looking for some better grass. They're always on the move. And it doesn't matter if they're going further and further away from their shepherd and from security and the care of the shepherd. It doesn't matter. They're on the move. There's something better. And see, that's so like us as people, even in whom God is working. We go off on tangents. We get an appetite for something. We don't stop to think, where's this going to end up? We just get on with it and then, and we move away almost imperceptibly from the shepherd's care and the security he gives. And clearly what the psalm writer is saying here in his confession is that he wasn't thinking as deeply on his relation to God and the law of God that kept him from going astray. And he did go astray. And he sinned and came short badly. He doesn't tell us what exactly, but he tells us enough here tonight to know that this man of God went astray like a stubborn lost sheep. Again, for those who know the sheep scene, you'll have, maybe there's a shepherd or two for all I know again, you'll have pulled one out of, have you ever tried to take them out of a bramble bush? And they've gotten them, so there's a few smiles there. They get them stuck in. What are they doing? Well, actually, see, in at the bottom of the bramble bush, the grass is sweet. Ah, but what about the bramble bush? What damage is going to do? How quickly will it tangle in the wool? very quickly. And then, suddenly, the sheep is in trouble. Some of you may have seen them on the cliff tops, noticing on the way in. They'll go down and down, following the grass. It's good and sweet, sins like that, when we're not thinking. And suddenly they're stuck. They can't get back up, and they daren't go down, for it's a long way down to the sea. I, like a lost sheep, went astray. Perhaps you've even seen one in a bog. What on earth is it doing there? Well, actually, the bog was between it and that. See that ridge of sweet grass out there? It was making for that. Aye, it's like sin. Looks sweet, but it's not. And so when we apply this first point, his confession, we can see, I hope, that we need to take stock of ourselves. Sorry, it's a play on unintended pun there. We need to take stock of ourselves in preparation for remembering that holy death of our Lord Jesus Christ. And the fact is, we can be hiding things from other people. We can be hiding sin. Nobody else knows. You know God knows, but, well, actually, he'll forgive me somewhere along the line. Sins like that. The lost sheep doesn't look at the consequences of the direction it's going in or the danger it's getting into. It just goes. And he says, I was like that. There's all sorts of things that can entangle us in our own minds. Our attitudes shift from the law of God, and we justify the wrong course of action. We get into trouble. And it's important in thinking about this first point that we resolve to examine ourselves in the light of the word and to turn to the Good Shepherd himself and simply confess, I, like a lost sheep, went astray. Second thing I think it's fair to derive from the text is his petition. Seek your servant. I love this because to me, when the Lord is asked to seek us, he finds us, he saves us, and he restores us. There's a four-pointer for the minister. Watch him and he'll come up with that. But see what I'm saying. Don't miss the point. When he's asking the Lord to seek him, he knows the Lord will find him where he is. And it's where he is, the Lord's going to take him from. Seek your servant means find your servant, save your servant. Picture the sheep in the bog, and it's up to its neck. It hasn't got long to go. Seek your servant means find your servant too, and it means save your servant, and it means restore your servant. The poor self-confessed lost sheep, the writer, is ready to cry out, seek your servant. Sadly, sometimes it takes a long time for us to do that. But it's a healthy thing, and to my mind, there's no better time than this evening in preparation for the Lord's Supper to take this to heart and to say now's the time and to plead with him for such help as we need. But it's really wise for us to do that, because if we don't do that and we go on in sin unchecked, it'll get worse, we'll get into more and more trouble until at last we'll almost ruin ourselves. We ought to beware. And the classic example in the Bible, even the children know, was the life of David. He had everything, but not quite everything. There's always something extra. And that's what sin does. Always, it's like the sheep in the grass. It went into the bog. saw that ridge, a lovely sweet grass. Couldn't get to it quickly enough. But the bog got it. And sins like that. The eyes are... surely this is not me. Don't blame me. Right, come on then. We need some... So, you see what I'm saying here? We've got to work on this. We've got to recognize. Seek your servant. Find your servant. Save your servant. Restore your servant. Don't let me go headlong. Don't let me go down. Don't let me go out. He wants to be saved by the Lord. And the wonderful thing is, Jesus, as we were singing, what a friend we have in him. All our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to him. And see, when we go astray, he's there for us. All right, we're going to hurt ourselves, but the wonderful thing is, he'll heal us, he'll restore us, he'll bring us back. Now see, and I'm speaking to the boys and girls too here, we're living in difficult days for your young minds. They're exposed to all sorts of things. You hear stories on the television, you see images you ought never to be seen. And I'm not saying that's carelessness on the part of the parents. You can hardly turn the box on. But there's something that's not helping. And see, the battleground for us and our well-being is the mind. And often doubts come into our minds about God and about the Bible. And see, what you need to do is take that to Jesus and say, Lord, seek me, find me, save me, and restore my confidence in you. The truth in Jesus saves us. And the truth in Jesus keeps us. He is the good shepherd. And let us have confidence in him. One last thing. I'm not used to a service that goes on an hour. I go on too long. So I'm having to trim my sails here. The third and final thing then is his affirmation. And it's there too, I think. His confession, his petition, his affirmation. For I do not, he affirms this, you see, for I do not forget your commandments. I did not forget them. And here, what we see here is that he can affirm, though he went astray, he can still affirm, I do not forget your commandments. The sheep of the Lord, when they go astray, they sin against light, and spiritual knowledge. And it's always worse for us because we're refusing the light the Lord gives us and the knowledge he gives us of the danger of the spiritual bog or the spiritual precipice, the cliff and the 100-foot drop that's going to damage us. The light of the Word of God directs us not only how we may glorify and enjoy him, but how we may be kept from sin and harm. It is the worst kind of self-harm, sinning against the light and the knowledge we have. And it may seem a bit of a puzzle, a bit enigmatic to say, in his affirmation, I do not forget your commandments. At the end of the verse, and at the start of the verse, he says, I have gone astray like a lost sheep. The two seem just poles apart. But, my dear friends, the reality is, these things can happen to us. They can happen. We can be in this contrary position. And herein is the reality, if you like, of the experience of the flock of God. I think Paul puts it, as I understand him in Romans 7, very rightly. The good that I would do, I find myself not doing. And Would you believe it? The evil that I don't want to do, I find myself doing. Now, Paul wasn't advocating, okay, don't worry about it, just go with the flow. No, Paul called himself a wretched man, a wretched boy, a wretched girl, a wretched woman, because I'm not doing what I should do. We take Paul and we're not to use him as a good excuse. Well, Paul was like that. No, no. There's a war going on, Lord. Seek me and find me and save me from losing in that war and restore me so that I'll not offend you, that I'll not be inflicting on myself misery. Take me up from where I am yet again. And those who are more experienced in the Christian faith, isn't it true that when you sing, if it's not Psalm 40 or the equivalent in a hymn, which I don't know so well, when you sing Psalm 40, he took me from a fearful pit and from the miry clay, and on a rock he set my feet, establishing my way. Isn't it true, Christian friend who's been in the faith a long time, every time you sing it, every time you mean it, because it's as true as ever it was on the very first time you sang it with grace in your heart and light in your understanding. Every time you sing. That experience was the fearful pit, the bog for the sheep, the cliff top that was Zoom, the bramble bush that was choking the life out of the beast. Every time you're delivered and you sing something like that, Sam, it hits you again. He's done it again. He's taken me from that place. And you know where you are right now. I don't. And frankly, I don't need to know. But you know before the Lord. And whatever is amiss in your own life, take to him. Put right. Say to him what we were saying earlier on in the petition. Seek me and save me. Save me by finding me and restore me. Put me in the right path again. I confess my own sinful waywardness. Bring me back into the narrow way, and Lord, keep me there. And it is a time for self-examination, for honest self-assessment. Some people think, in fact, your minister made a wee blunder, I'm going to get back on him here. He said, who's come to preach at us? No, I haven't come to preach at you. We're all under the same word. The minister is not preaching at you. He's expounding God's word as faithfully as he can. And he's preaching to himself too. There are times when you're preaching the truth as a minister, you're overwhelmed with a sense of I am thee. It's not good me, bad you stuff. We're all in this together. We're all to seek to help each other, to grow in the grace and the knowledge, the experience knowledge of the great shepherd himself, the Lord Jesus Christ. And let's be clear on that. So what areas have I strayed into which have involved me in sinful thoughts or words or actions? You know the story about words. They're only words, but words do a lot of damage, don't they? And you'll know the story about the lady who spoke very badly about the minister. And he was on his way to see her. He came in to see her. And he scolded her for it. And later, he was on his deathbed. And she came to see him, to tell him how sorry she was. She had said so much bad against him. Some of you will know this. And he gave her a pillow and he said, open that window, cut open the pillow end, and shake it out. And of course it was a feather pillow. And all those hundreds and hundreds of feathers went everywhere on the wind. On the wind. And he said, "See, these are your words. They've gone everywhere. And wherever they've gone, they've done damage." And sometimes we have to say to the Lord, "Lord, I've said what I shouldn't have said. And I'm going to sort that out. I'm asking you to forgive me, but I want grace to put it right with whoever." That's what I mean by close personal self-examination. An honest self-assessment. The Bible tells me, and you, that if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And when He does that, He restores us. 1 John 1:9. So it's good for us to know we have in the shepherd of the sheep one who has done all that needs to be done to deal with our sin and wonderfully to heal and restore us. So let's not live like the sheep gone astray and going further astray. Let's have out in the open before the Lord those things wherein we have sinned, to deal with them. And let's use this verse to do what has to be done, to confess the shepherd as we ought to petition him for deliverance and restoration, and to affirm with a better understanding our allegiance to him. Our allegiance to him. Amen.